Live from the Xfinity Studios at WVON. We're your original social media. You're listening to American Heroes, hosted by Cliff Kelly on WVON AM 1690.
For a beautiful day. Welcome back to America's Heroes Group Roundtable with Indiana DAV, Chapter 17. Today is Saturday, August 29th, 2020, and August is National Wellness Month. And we have calling in is the iconic Cliff Kelly, the governor of talk radio. And I am the co-host, Colonel Dr. Damon Arnold. And the executive producer is Glenda Smith, digital media producer Manny Carazzari, and assistant digital media producer Titus Williams is in present accounted for.
All great people. All great people.
So we have a panelist calling in, Bob Carnegie. He is a U.S. Army veteran and Department of Veterans Affairs first junior vice commander, Department of Indiana. Today's discussion is going to focus on the fallen heroes of Indiana, and I'm really particularly interested in this. It's our neighboring state. I go through there quite a bit to buy food and to just to tour the town. Michigan, Indiana is one of my favorite spots, Michiana. But it's really great to have you on, Bob. Maybe you can tell us more about this historical significance of the fallen heroes of Indiana.
I'd be happy to, and thank you for having me on once again.
Yes, sir.
I want to make sure you can hear me okay.
Yes, we can. Very well.
Yes.
Okay.
Fine.
Okay, great. Hi, Cliff. How are you?
Fine. How are you? Good to hear you again.
Just fine. So the Indiana Fallen Heroes is something that started in one of the rural schools in northwest Indiana. And I think it was originally spawned in Michigan, where one of the teachers had been to a parade in Michigan. Mm-hmm. And they saw a display of fallen heroes from Michigan as part of the parade. So this teacher came back to his school in Wheeler, Indiana, and they decided that they needed to do this for the state of Indiana. So they researched, the students researched, found out exactly how many fallen heroes we've had in Indiana since 9/11. And then they created an image on a placard, you know, that's like a foam board, probably about 2.5-3 feet high, about 1.5 feet wide. And on there would be the image of the individual, his age, his rank, the unit he was attached to, and then a brief synopsis, like 2 or 3 lines. You know, it would be the fallen hero's name, his hometown, and that he was killed on such and such a date and such a location in Iraq or Afghanistan, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my.
And so in Indiana at the time, they had about 220 placards. Mm-hmm. So when you go to a parade, you got to find 220 people that are willing to carry one of these. and here it comes in the middle of the parade or the beginning of the parade, and there's 220 people carrying images of fallen heroes.
Wow.
And it is a breathtaking, visionary image in the mind, because here people are standing 2-3 feet away on the curb watching the parade go by, and they see row after row after row after row of these young men and realize that each one of them has died.
Wow.
And it is a moving experience, and the people that carry them have a moving experience, and sometimes we'll get somebody, it's a brother. They're carrying an image of their brother. They're carrying an image of somebody they served with. Here in northwest Indiana, we lost 6 young men in 2 different incidents in 1 deployment in 2011. Members of that unit will come out and say, where's so-and-so? Where's his placard? I got to carry that. People from the crowd will come up and touch the placards.
Yeah.
I knew this young man.
Oh,
and
wow.
Now it's kind of moved around as to who manages it. And there's friends of mine that manage this now. that are Gold Star families.
Yes, yes, the Gold Star families.
And these images are absolutely treated like their kids. Mm. And if you can think you're waiting to start the parade, you got a placard that's 3 feet by 2.5 feet or whatever. So you might rest it on the ground. They'll come around and say, no, 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 rest it on your shoe. Please don't touch the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And so now they've figured out a way to display them in a static situation, so it's not a parade. Like this weekend, we had a big blood drive at one of the union halls out here, which was the Teamsters Union. Mm-hmm. And so several hundred people came out and gave blood. It was Friday and Saturday. Mm. And so we had the static display of these mounted on some racks, and you know, the racks are pounded into the ground. And so you could go past this almost like you're in a cemetery and go past the rows and rows and rows. And my friend Glenda knows my friend Nancy. She's with me today. And Nancy just kept going past these young men and going, 19 years old. Yeah. 19 years old, 20 years old, 21 years old. She's going like, they're babies.
Yeah.
And you know, it's just a very, very moving thing. And when you see so many, you know, it's one thing when it's in your town and we've lost somebody and it's a terrible thing. And you go meet the family and you're at the cemetery or you're at the funeral home. But now when you see, and they're at a point now where they've got to add another 150 that they've researched and found some more that they got to add. It's going to be close to 500 images when they're done with this project. And
I really do. I think that's a wonderful thing. Yeah. You know, you can help me with this, too, because you probably are already doing it. I used to be a member of a group some years ago that blood drives. They'd give
yes.
blood.
Yes.
I don't see that much anymore.
Well, that's what we had here, Cliff.
Okay.
And the reason it happened,
you might. That's what I was thinking. You might. Okay, all right.
So this is why it happened. There's a gentleman in our community. His name. He puts on a triathlon. He does it in Wolf Lake, and you know where Wolf Lake is, right there,
yes,
where Indiana
yeah.
and Illinois come
right.
together at Lake Michigan.
Yeah.
And so every June, he puts this triathlon on, and he calls it the world's shortest triathlon because they don't swim that far, they don't run that far, they don't bike that far, mm-hmm. like a full triathlon. But
sure.
he's broken it down into to divisions, and he has Disabled American Division. And guys will come in, several are blind, they got a guy swimming with them. Some are missing limbs, they're in the water swimming. When they get out of the water, maybe somebody's got to be there to catch them and carry them to their wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
The fire and the police from Chicago get involved because some of those guys, you know, have been handicapped for some particular reason.
Mm-hmm.
And one year, Cliff, they even had a competition between the Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marines, handicapped guys, that came out and had their own division and competed against each other.
Wow. Oh, that had to be great. Yeah.
Oh, it's really wonderful. And what happened this year, because of the pandemic, they couldn't have the race. and out here, the unions have gotten behind that race and sponsor it quite a bit. So the union said, Leon, we've got to do something. You know, we can't just not have a race.
Mm-hmm.
So they came up with the idea to do a blood drive. And so the Red Cross showed up on Friday and today, and people came out in droves.
Right.
And we gave blood. We had the National Guard here. We had a truck club that came in from across the country. We were going to have skydivers come in this morning, and about an hour before the skydivers were supposed to land, they called and said, no skydiving. It is a bit too windy. And so,
oh, was it?
Oh, boy.
Yeah,
right.
So they decided they might miss the target by a mile or so, and they decided it wasn't the right thing to do today.
Oh, they weren't but, they weren't in the 82nd. They never
no, they, no. No, they were not. They were not in the 82nd, nor were they prepared to land in a tree.
That's right. Yeah, I know that. I didn't know that they were in the 82nd.
Yeah, well,
I think the blood drives are just great things, though, because that is such a thing that so many people need, and particularly now We've got
absolutely
crazy, yeah, this CV10 and all this stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah.
And Bob, you know, one question I have is that, you know, it sounds so like such a dramatic event. I'm wondering if they videotaped this or film it, because you know who needs to see this? The kids in school need to see this.
Sure.
And they need
to know. Here's what,
yeah.
The price of oil.
Yeah. All right, and I agree with you 100%. Now, here's what I can tell you. Every year for the triathlon, that is filmed. Mm-hmm. And it's shown in Chicago on the 4th of July. The event takes place on the first weekend in June, and there is a video company that comes in from the East Coast. They used to come in with the helicopters and everything and film the swimming, you know, overhead and all that stuff. And now, no helicopters are required. They've got drones flying overhead taking images instead of a helicopter.
And
they filmed the triathlon. And Leon said that there were some people that were going to be coming around with some video, so there may be some video images. And I can't answer that for sure at this moment, but I agree with you 100%. The younger generation needs to understand some things to continue to build on the foundation that we have right this minute.
Yes. Yes.
Dr. Arnold, let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Since we're talking about blood drives and this sort of thing and all the illness that's going around, mm-hmm. do we have anything like that we should have and don't?
Yeah, I think so. Well, one of the things that there's a big push for right now is called convalescent plasma. And what that is the blood donation from a person that has already had the COVID-19.
Oh.
So they actually develop the antibodies, and they can be collected from that person's blood and given to someone that may be having a very difficult time in an intensive care unit who's on a ventilator. So they do have protocols for that now, and they do ask for blood donations for that particular purpose. So some people are going in just to get tested to see if they had the COVID as well, because at least 50% of the people have the COVID-19. It's caused by the SARS-CoV-2 virus, but the COVID-19, coronavirus disease of 2019, that's what it stands for, actually don't know they had the disease. So
they don't know they've had it.
Okay, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have a caller, too. We have Robert on the line. You can also call in if you'd like to, 773-591-1690, 573-591-1690. But, Robert, go ahead and ask your question.
Hello, everyone. How are you doing?
Great, fine, good.
Okay,
good.
My name is Robert M. I was in Washington. I'm a blind vet. I was at the Jesse Brown VA, but I moved since there. But anyway, I was in Washington, D.C., a few years ago at the House of Representatives. It was a long list of pictures of veterans that was got killed in Iraq and Afghanistan. Are those pictures still there in the hallway?
That's a good question. I'm not sure of whether it's still there. I've seen that before, though. I know what you're talking about.
That was about 2 years ago.
Yeah,
it was about 6 foot long, maybe longer now, and 4 or 5 foot high.
Yeah.
I mean, beautiful ladies and handsome men that got killed at the war. You know, that's one of them still there.
Yes, yes.
Everything.
Yeah, there was an artist who actually was working, and he actually, you know, drew all of the people and the beautiful artwork. It was trying to draw the image of every person that had that had died in combat. And
Hello? This wasn't art. These were pictures about 2 or 3 by 4 or something like that.
Oh, these were like photographs?
Yeah, but about 2,000, maybe more, pictures of the young veterans got killed in Iraq, Afghanistan, you know, the war and everything.
Oh, yes.
When you go in, it's in the House of Representatives. I mean, it's a long, it make it cry. It look almost like the Vietnam War, the memorial. I was there, too. And I got a kick in about that. I went there in the summertime, and you going up to the wall of the Vietnam Memorial, you got dog feces. You can smell it all in that car going up there. It's a shame the way it is,
Yes.
I'm sorry, what did you say? You've got what?
It's dog feces when you go up to the Vietnam Memorial in the hall, in the field out there in the, where you go walking on the walkway going up there.
Yeah, that needs to be, you know, we need to have a respect and all that for all the grave sites and for
Hell yes.
Yes.
That's why I asked him. I wasn't sure I heard him right. No, that definitely is, needs to be. They can have somebody clean that up to make sure. That's something that ought to be, I don't care what you thought of the war or whether you were in it or whatever, but that's ridiculous. And they have those honor plates, which are just great for a lot of these Vietnam vets.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
The honor plates are fantastic. You know, they don't have to pay.
Let me give you another monument that you guys need to talk about, and somebody needs to go visit for you.
Yeah.
It's
sure.
out in Marseille, Illinois, about an hour and 20 minutes from Chicago.
Okay.
And it's called the Middle East, Middle East Conflict Wall Memorial. Mm. It's on Marseille, Illinois. It is on the shore of the Illinois River.
Yes.
It was funded by the State of Illinois Motorcycle Clubs.
Yes.
And it is granite rock, about 5 or 6 of them, and they have engraved in those granite rock all of the soldiers from Illinois that have been killed in the Middle East conflict.
Oh, that's
wow!
And because it's on the bank of the river, it is absolutely spectacular.
Oh boy, I'm going to take a trip there. Yeah.
Oh, I'm telling you, it is worth a day trip. It may not be a day trip, maybe a half a day trip. And here's the other thing about it. It's computerized, so there's computer screens that are built into some casings right there.
Okay.
Put in a name, and it'll tell you which rock, which line on the rock, just like you can do at the Vietnam Wall.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of being a wall like the Vietnam Monument in Washington, D.C., it's granite stone,
wow. You
know, different ones, 5, 6, 7 in a row. I can't remember how many are there. There's also a little museum there that has a lot of memorabilia and information about these fallen soldiers. And then every spring in the middle of June, they do a fundraiser, and the State of Illinois Motorcycle Club, I was there 1 year to watch. About 3,000 motorcycles went past me.
Wow!
Wow! I've got to go. I've got to go and see this because.
Listen, Doc. I was going to tell you, Dr. Arnold. Mm-hmm. I know what we can do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can go. I can. I'll get the map out and you drive.
Okay sounds perfect.
And it's right off. It's right off 88.
Okay.
You know, and it's Mokeen. No, not Mokeen. I can't remember the.
So that sounds worthwhile.
Okay,
really
we have one more minute to go, and this ready to move on. But I want to say that, you know, we had to have you back on again. It was really great talking to you. You really inspired me about, you know, the past and what our soldiers have done. And maybe we have to do a live show from the Marseille's Monument.
You know, that's a good idea.
I'm telling you right now, you will not be disappointed.
Yes. Okay. Great. Thank you very much. And we're actually going to move on to a commercial break, but stay with us. We have another incredible segment coming up very shortly. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, bro.
Thank you.
Keep current with all the hot news trends by tuning into the only urban talk station on iHeartRadio. We are the talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Hi, I'm Cliff Kelly, Vietnam veteran and host of America's Heroes Group, the game changer in radio, print, and digital media programming. We are a roundtable talk show where information, resources, and referrals are provided intentionally every Saturday to empower our military population on WVON 1690 AM, the iHeart Radio app from 4 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Please visit our website at www.americashd.org. What's going on? What's going on? Yeah, what's going on?
Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, the host of America's Heroes Group. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident or the result of malpractice, you have only one chance to get the compensation you deserve. You need a law firm you can trust with experience and resources who will fight on your behalf. With a proven track record of excellence both in and out of the courtroom, call Seidman, Margulis, and Fairman at 312-781-1977 for a free consultation, or visit SeidmanLaw.net. That's Seidman, S-E-I-D-M-A-N, law.net.
Hey, Cliff, where can a veteran business owner go on the south side of Chicago for breakfast, lunch, and dinner meetings?
I'm a veteran, and that's an easy answer. Pearl's Place on 39th and Michigan. Pearl's Place has free parking available across the street. Reasonably priced, quality food that tastes delicious. Veteran owners, there's no place like Pearl's Place.
Governor of Talk Radio, your executive producer wants to know, where can I go for delicious shrimp? Any suggestions?
Absolutely. The one and only veteran business owner, Harris Gulf Shrimp, at 7448 Vincennes. I personally eat there. The price and shrimp are nothing other than fantastic.
Thank you, the one and only Governor of Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Sister Soldier, proud partner of She Voices on America's Heroes Group. She serves, she matters, where your change becomes empowered. Also, watch me on the web at SheThatInspires.com or YouTube. Remember, I'm every woman because I am just like you.
Service Women Who Serve is proud to partner with Cliff Kelly and the American Heroes Group as an influencer of social change through advocacy, activism, and examination of legacy for military and veterans. We stand as paradigm-shifting thought leaders, believing social justice is grounded in hope.